I was in deep in Reddit.
Which is what you always do when you have a second of spare time.
Oh, I wonder what's going on Reddit.
I came across this thread of people sharing their funniest excuses they've heard someone use to, like, leave work or not come into work. And I was cackling.
Heidi's got one. Had an employee on a performance plan. Do you think you'd ensure that they were there on time? But no, some of the excuses even the unemployment judge couldn't believe. He did not get unemployment, by the way. Number one, late because a cat tore down the curtains and he needed to fix it.
Ah.
Number two, Dairy Queen drive-thru was backed up. And they have amazing biscuits and gravy.
Listen,
that
is legit.
Yep, yep. All-time favorite number three. He had to boil his bath water because his gas was shut off. And, well, that just takes time. Wow.
Boil his bath water.
Wow.
All right. All right. Like, they need
unemployment judge, doesn't matter.
Right. They need to leave because their dog locked their son out of the house.
Right. Well, that sounds like an emergency.
That does. Their kid got a pea stuck up his nose.
Ooh, which also an emergency.
Listen, that could be legit.
Well, yes, because they had, like, I don't even know if they still have it, but they had a display board of things at Norton Children's Hospital that they pulled out of children's noses.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's get to Sean. Sean sent us a voice note.
So I was a supervisor for 10 years with anywhere from like 100 to 200 people under me. So I've heard all kinds of excuses. Mm-hmm. I've had one was because his fish tank was broken. Keep in mind, I work third shift, so I don't know work third shift. I'm not sure what he would be doing at 1 o'clock in the morning for the fish tank.
I mean, come on. Fish are going to fish, right?
Fish are going to fish.
This other one, my favorite one.
Okay, get ready.
He called in and said he had anal glaucoma.
What?
Okay, stop. Okay, stop. Why? Why?
You have glaucoma in your eyes.
Yeah, listen.
He couldn't see his butt coming into work that day.
There it is.
Got it.
That's the punchline.
Got it.
That's the punchline.
Got it.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Brittany's used the traffic was terrible. The traffic at the coffee drive-thru.
Right. Absolutely. All again, right. Long line, amazing coffee. Can't start the day without it.
For sure.
Oh my gosh. Rachel said, my friend just sent our girls chat this yesterday. She saw horses in her yard. She lives in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Went out to try to corral them. While she looked for the owner, she stood in the rain for almost 2 hours waiting for the owner to get there while her boss was blowing her up, asking her why she wasn't on a Zoom call she was supposed to be on. She was like, he's never going to believe me if I tell him. So she took a picture for proof. Shout out to Casey for saving the horses. It's an amazing picture of this horse with a dog,
with a dog leash
around
yeah.
its neck. That's so great.
That is good.
Oh,
that is
wow.
good. Got another one. They couldn't come to work because their reflection looked judgy that morning.
Oh.
They needed a mental health day to, quote, repair their relationship with the mirror.
Got it. Okay.
Also, they needed to leave because their cat was having an existential crisis and wouldn't stop meowing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Parrot got out of the cage, was chasing their wife around the house. Aggressive parrot. Got it.
Their goldfish was drowning.
What? I'm sorry. Back that truck up.
And then they walked out before the manager could process the physics of that statement.
There is no physics. That can't happen.
Sorry, my goldfish is drowning. I gotta go.
Wait, your goldfish lives in water. What in the world?
Got another message. Someone said, I frequently say I have a casserole in the oven and just leave.
Oh.
Whether it's work, parties, wedding events, doesn't matter.
I have a casserole in the oven.
Yeah. It says, I think it's from the movie Over the Hedge or something.
Oh my gosh. Oh, they worked from home, but had to leave an online meeting because a squirrel fell down their chimney and was in their house.
Oh my gosh.
That's creative.
That is creative.
I'm sorry, I have to go. A squirrel fell down the chimney and is chasing and is running around my house right now. I need to go deal with that. That needs my attention.
Oh shoot, that's funny. All right, those are good. Those are good.
One person said, their wife said, that he had to come home immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, he walked back into work and said his wife was on the radio and won $500 because she was able to convince him to leave work immediately without telling him it was a contest.
That's a good bit.
Oh, wow.
That's a good bit. Maybe we should do that, too.
Kudos.
That is good. I like that.
Game
I like that.
Recognizes game.
Yep. Those are good. Thank you. 99.7 DJX. So let's play a fun little game called Little Kid or Drunk Adult and introduce you to Taylor calling us from New Albany. Hi, Taylor.
Good morning.
Good morning. Taylor's 5'7", has brown hair, works in fundraising, and is married.
Awesome. Do you have experience with kids or drunk people?
Both, actually, yes.
Great. Wow. All right. Expertise in both arenas.
In both. This will do you well.
Great.
All right. Kelly's going to explain how it all works.
You're going to hear three stories. Your task is to determine whether the star of the story was a little kid or a drunk adult at the time.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. First one.
This is Luke's. I ran into a barbed wire fence chasing a rabbit.
This is Luke. Great.
All right.
He might be a little drunk now.
Luke ran into a fence.
I think it probably was a little kid.
Little kid?
And that he was drunk while he recorded that.
Maybe. A little bit of both.
All right.
A barbed wire fence.
All right. Thank you,
Luke.
Gotta
watch out for those.
All right. Let's figure that out.
So, yeah, I was a little kid.
There you go.
Precious little Luke.
That's right.
And we were going to meet a couple girls and decided to chase a rabbit. And I ran into the fence, but yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. But did they meet the girls?
I don't think so.
There's no closure.
No, there's no closure, but, you know, Luke, thank you for that great story.
Wow.
All right, you're one for one. Here we go, next one. Taylor. Little kid, drunk adult.
I got kicked out of a museum for knocking over an astronaut display.
Oh.
I am going to go with drunk adult. I feel like little kids don't necessarily go to museums without
Could be a field trip,
though.
Yeah. Could be a field trip.
Could be.
That's what I was thinking.
All right.
Like, why are you drunk at a museum? But okay.
All right.
First date problem.
There it is. All right, Taylor. Let's see.
I was a drunk adult.
Oh, you got it.
Nailed it.
Ooh. Yeah.
I had a few bottles of wine and went to a museum with my boyfriend.
I'm sorry.
A few bottles?
Wow.
Of wine?
Wow.
I climbed the security rope and tried taking a selfie with a huge astronaut display. I lost my balance and fell into the display.
Oh, my God. Look, guys, I'm totally on the moon.
Totally on the moon. All right. Wow. Good job. Taylor, you're great at this. You're two for two so far.
I wish if I could just like watch that happen in real time, that would be amazing.
I know. You're just sitting there going, What is this chick doing?
What is she doing?
What do you even do after that? Like, go tell on yourself?
You run away.
There's probably a security guard who's like, hey, lady, you gotta leave.
Probably had some words.
All right. Last one. Little kid, drunk adult.
So one time I see my brother sleeping oh so peacefully, and I decided I wanted to get some paint, and I painted his pants from the top to the bottom.
Painted his pants.
Wow.
That is definitely a kid.
Yeah.
Because if she is a drunk adult sleeping with her brother, that's it.
Really,
you know what?
That's a really good point to zero in on.
I was going to say, well done. Well done. Context clues could send us to the right answer. You said little kid.
I was a little kid.
Yeah, you were. I probably got grounded.
Yes, you were. Yeah. That's funny.
And he was about like 10 months old. And, you know, I thought he needed some pizzazz. And it was a whole lot of screaming after that. Because it was permanent paint.
Oh, my gosh. It was permanent. Oh, my gosh. 10-month-old.
10-month-old. Painted the baby.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny. All right. Taylor, you were perfect. 3 for 3. Well done. Congratulations.
That was impressive.
Congratulations.
Yes. Can I give a shout out real quick?
Yes, for sure.
My 9-year-old wants to shout out someone.
All right. Go ahead.
Hi, Zozo.
Hi, Zozo.
Hi.
Wait, did you say Zozo?
Zozo is my best friend. She's watching from Owensboro.
Oh, that's so great.
That is great.
No,
I get it. My daughter's name is Zoe, and one of the nicknames that we have for her is Zozo. So that's good.
That's so cute. Yay.
All right, cool.
And your daughter, too.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Taylor, good job. Congrats. Hang tight. We'll get a little bit more information from you and give you a prize, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, cool. Hang on.
That's great. And shout out to Jay Brown, Virginia, who's doing jumping jacks in a Speedo.
See, you can be doing anything.
That's great. Thanks for sharing.
On 99.7 DJX. If you ever go to court, pro tip, remember to call the judge your honor, all right?
Yeah, that's the proper etiquette.
That is the proper etiquette. Them. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know that we've spoken to teachers before, and I know my sister-in-law is a teacher as well, and she gets called mom all the time. Like,
mom. Yeah. Well, okay. I get that.
Yeah. Like elementary school.
Sure.
You know, kids will slip up and call their teacher mom or dad or something like that, where, sure, you know, they're used to saying mom or dad, and then they get into a school setting and they call their teacher mom. So,
oopsies.
Talk about a slip up here. This lawyer in Colorado, he was addressing this female judge. It was actually a panel of judges, right? Well, listen to what he said.
This could have been three separate.
Okay, but it wasn't three separate. Let's go with what happened in the case.
But honey, oh my God, I'm sorry.
Listen, condescending.
He said, honey.
Sorry, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, I mean, he immediately knew. He immediately knew.
You could probably see, like, imagine the look on her face.
Well, so the look on her face didn't change, but the look on the judge's face that was next to her, who is also a female, she shot her a smile and he just said that to you.
What are you going to do with that?
I apologize.
Go ahead.
The question here. I'm sorry, I've just been totally thrown by my mistake.
She's like,
I can imagine.
Uh-huh. Spit it out, buddy.
I'm a little thrown by that also, if I'm being honest.
Your Honor, I don't know what to say.
Well, go ahead. You've only got 1:07 left.
By the way, client of that lawyer, I'm like, great!
She hates us.
No,
because
great!
What you just said.
He just ruined it for me.
Oh, God.
I thought we had a good defense, but this is horrible. Thanks.
I am so cringing in every part of my body for that guy.
I mean, he was just like, honey. I mean, and could you, like, his wife is like, You already know. It's like,
Oh, that's so, like, sexist and condescending all at the same time. Oh.
Yeah. And she's like, you have 1:07.
He can't even remember words.
I know. He's just like,
I don't even know my name at this point. I'm about to black out.
Hawa. So, yeah, Freudian slip. Obviously, you know how he argues at home with his wife.
Yeah.
Honey.
Everything about this is so cringy.
Yes, exactly. Probably one of those, you know, he's gaslighting his wife and just said, honey,
he might have been making a good argument. I have no idea what they're talking about.
I know, no idea.
All I know is that all just went out the window because of that slip up.
Three separate.
Okay, but it wasn't three separate. Let's go with what happened in the case.
I'm sorry.
Immediately when it came out of his mouth, like he knew, was like, how did I let that out of my mouth?
Yeah. All right. I know I have had some Freudian slips in my life. Some have even been captured on film and broadcast on Wild
National
Weddings.
Television.
Yes, on national television. If you've got a most embarrassing Freudian slip that you would like to pass along.
Gosh, it's that one's tough to top.
I don't know if it's going to top the lawyer calling the judge honey.
Honey, in a condescending way. Like, not even in a cute, flirty way. It's a condescending pat on the head.
I mean, even if it was a cute, flirty way, like, honey.
Just,
I mean, like, what do you. No.
Just no. No. No.
502-795-1997 is our number. Honey.
Oh, wow.
Take some of your stories coming up next. Maybe you didn't call a judge honey to her face while in court.
Let's go with what happened in the case.
But honey, or oh my God, I'm sorry.
What are some of those embarrassing Freudian slips that you've had? I was getting married, and I've told this story before, but I was sight reading something for the very first time in front of the entire congregation at our wedding.
Nervous.
And yes, nervous. And the line was, I will never take my wife for granted. I said, I will take my wife for granted. And then
some people noticed.
Yes, she shoots me a look. There was a pause. There was a murmur in the crowd. I looked down at the line again, and I'm like, oh.
Realize what you said.
And then I tagged it with never. I will never take my wife for granted.
Cute moment. Landed on national TV.
It did. So that was one. And then, you know, of course, when you're working multiple jobs, you answer one phone at a place with the business of the other job that you're at, mm-hmm. or you answer your home phone with, you know, your work, you know, spiel or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Swifty Kim texted in and said, I used to work at a place where I answered the phone, you know, thank you for calling so-and-so. Can I help you? Well, one day I answered, thank you for calling so-and-so. Can I have you?
Oh!
Can I have you? Well, okay.
Oh, gosh. I do a couple of different other shows after this one, too, and sometimes I forget which show I'm doing. That's a constant problem.
I was going to say, that's a problem, you know, especially in our industry when you either work on multiple different stations or you change radio stations and it's like, you know, you now got to start calling another radio station.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, when you've been saying 99.7 EJX for literally 20 years, it's like, okay, now it's going to be.
Or when our phone number changed. Know, we had the same phone number for years and years and years. And it took a while to get that in your brain.
I still get it wrong sometimes.
Cindy's new phone number.
Cindy texted us and said, while presenting in a Zoom meeting, I said, as you can see from the sex sheet, I mean, Excel sheet.
Oh, God.
And she says, I immediately turned off my camera.
Oh, wow. I was like, oh, that's just a natural. That's a, little
wait, hang on a second.
Tongue.
That's a different sheet. I don't have that one.
I don't have
hang
that
on.
Sheet either.
I'm looking for that one.
And send that over.
Go ahead
that'd
and
be
forward
great.
That one. That wasn't in our agenda.
Tina says, I was talking to a friend and I said, I think I have a fear of commitment. But what came out was, I think I have a fear of condiments. I just rolled with it.
You know, ketchup really scares me.
Hannah says, flirting at a bar. I tried to say, you're really cute.
Uh-huh.
And you're really hot.
Uh-huh.
At the same time.
Okay.
And it came out, you're really crotch. I just left.
I combine words all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I combine words. I feel that, Hannah.
Yeah.
You're really crotch. That's
absolutely.
That's a good thing. That's a good
thing. I will
see
myself out.
And good day.
I bid you adieu.
That's right. Most embarrassing Freudian slips you've had.
Leslie, I was nervous in introducing myself at a new job. I meant to say, I'm excited to be joining the team.
Okay.
But said, I'm excited to be joining the cult. Honestly, still accurate.
You know, accurate. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you're thinking in the back of your head, oh, as a joke, it might be kind of funny to say that. And you're like, no. Just kind of put that out of your brain. But then in the moment, it just
comes out.
Yes, exactly. It rolls out.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you know what? I got proposed to on the radio. And in my head, I was going to say thank you for making this the best day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out. Thank you.
Thank you.
So he asked me to marry him and on the radio, and
thanks.
I said, thank you.
Thanks for asking me.
I don't think I ever really said yes on the radio. Like,
thanks for asking me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is very, thank
yeah,
you so
that's,
much.
Yeah, that's thoughtful of you.
Very sweet.
I mean, we have been dating for a minute, so thank you. Thank you. We did.
I didn't finish the sentence that was in my head.
We got a message from listener Tattooed Mexican. He says, I had an appointment with my tattoo artist. He's a really good friend. Went to say hello. My right brain said, what up, bro? But my left brain said, what up, dude? And out of my mouth came, what up, boo? The whole shop was silent. Hey, Boo!
You sit there and explain that whole process. I was going to say, what up, bro? What up, dude? And then just, well, I combined it. Sorry,
I didn't know we were friends that way, but okay. All right.
Hey, Boo.
Good stories. Thank you for that. If you could hire someone to do something uncomfortable for you, what would it be?
I'm going to go out and say, go to my gynecologist appointments. I don't have to do that. There's one key thing you have to possess.
Yeah, I was going to say that might be a little interesting if it's a.
I can't send you.
I was going to say I can't sub in.
That's not going to work.
I can't tap in for you there, Kelly.
Be my stunt thing.
My stunt thing. No,
my stunt lady part. You can't be that. No.
No, I can't. But yeah, you know, there are some uncomfortable things that we all do in life. It's part of life, right? And sometimes you wish, why do I have to do it myself? Why can't I just have someone else do it? Well, in Japan, we've talked about this before, but there are these companies that are raking in tons of money because you can basically hire them to quit your job for you.
Wait a second. People aren't brave enough to quit their own job, so they hire someone else to let the boss know, oh, they're not coming in anymore.
Unfortunately, quitting your job in Japan can be hard. It's not uncommon for workers to face verbal abuse, or bosses tearing up resignation letters, refusing to let employees go.
Oh.
Quitting can sometimes be seen as a betrayal, too.
Yeah, so the culture there is so...
it's offensive to quit.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so a lot of workers... That's the most difficult thing they do is quit a job because it is seen as you know, disrespectful.
More disrespectful though to not deliver the news yourself?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess they're not so much. What's the fee to like hire somebody else to go let them know you're not coming anymore?
So it depends, but on it could be up to like $350 US bucks to have someone basically go in, negotiate for you and just tender your resignation. And it has gained so much popularity that like these companies are raking in millions of dollars.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, especially in these cultures where confrontation is not only they try to avoid it altogether, yes. Right?
Which is interesting and a little ironic that now there are companies that do just that.
Yeah.
Face the confrontation.
It's almost like a mediator, comes in and just says, hey, I'm representing, you know, so-and-so and
they're not coming back.
And,
thanks though.
Right.
Say, thanks so much for the years.
Right. Exactly.
They want to stay on friendly terms. Hopefully you're not mad.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, what would you?
Well, at least they're not ghosting them. At least they're letting the companies know they're done.
Right.
So instead of just disappearing and never coming back.
If you could hire someone to do something uncomfortable for you, what would it be? Or when did you have someone do your dirty work for you?
Mm.
All right. 502-795-1997.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of stunt breakup kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I sent my friend to go tell him I was dumping him.
I mean, I can think back to high school for me and kind of have a scenario similar to that. 9970 JX. We're talking about how there are companies in Japan where they will quit your job for you. Kind of wondering, hey, if you could hire someone to do something uncomfortable for you, what would it be? Or maybe when did you have someone do your dirty work? But before we get to some of your stories, here's another story from an American working in Japan.
You can hire somebody to quit your job for you in Japan. And I did not understand why until I quit my first job here.
Yeah, so she's working over there in Japan. She did this TikTok that kind of explains what happened and has millions of views.
Soon as I turned in my resignation letter, it was like a criminal trial had started. My boss, my boss's boss, my boss's boss's boss, they sat down and grilled me. They for real wanted an apology with tears. It was not enough to tell them that I had gotten a better job. They wanted to know all the details. What my new job would be, how long I'd stay there, what my my salary was going to be. And I had heard of people here whose old job tried to sabotage their new job with this kind of information. So I was stressed. And mind you, I come from a country where I had coworkers who wrote, "I quit" on a napkin and were never seen again.
Yeah. That's so true.
That's a really good point. Like, you're welcome. I told you. Right. Okay, bye. At least I didn't write it on a napkin.
Right.
Like the culture shock. After they finally accepted my reason for leaving, they still wanted an apology letter and for me to give a speech to the staff saying sorry to them as well. So,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, I mean, now I get it. Right. I wouldn't want to go through that at all.
Right.
Ever. Yes, that sounds like $350 well worth it.
Could you imagine getting up in front of the staff and going,
no.
Hi, I am no longer going to be working here because you all are terrible human beings and my boss is terrible.
I found another job. They're going to pay me more. That's all. Sorry. Love you guys. Bye. Oh,
there's a lot of different reasons to quit, but yeah,
I'll miss you, not you, or this person. You know what, we should send the famous scene from Jerry Maguire over there. It could be this.
What, I can't quit you?
Jerry Maguire.
Oh, was I thinking of Brokeback Mountain?
Brokeback Mountain? How is Brokeback Mountain and Jerry Maguire at all?
And I don't know.
Who's coming with me? Causes the big scene in the middle of the cubicles?
Vaguely
could
familiar.
Be that. Vaguely familiar?
Who would you hire to do something uncomfortable for you? Got a text from a listener. I would pay someone to go to my annual review at work. It's awkward. Just bring me the boss's comments. Hello, I'm here on behalf of Ben. Go ahead and...
I'm Stunt Ben today. I would like to hear how you think real Ben is doing.
I'll go ahead and record this conversation and make sure that he hears it.
I'll break it to him gently. OMG. Samantha says, I once made my best friend send back my food at a restaurant because I didn't want to seem high maintenance and I thought the server was cute.
Oh, no. It's like the server made your food and you didn't want to, like,
you just didn't want to upset the cute server you're a Karen.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. Okay. You're going to have to send this back because I think he's cute.
I know this is so not your fault, but take it back and get him to change it. I feel so bad. Oh, please don't think I'm me.
All right, we'll take some more of your stories coming up here on 99.7 DJX. When did you have someone do your dirty work? Or can we do your dirty work for you?
Oh, I see. I'm uncomfortable with that.
See, that'll make it even funnier. We're thinking of comedy here, Kelly.
I'm uncomfortable.
By the way, stick around for Alyssa's unhinged dirty work that she had someone do for her. We were talking about, like, when did you have someone do your dirty work?
Because in Japan, there's a company or companies that hire to quit their jobs for them because it's such a big ordeal, which I get it. Now that I hear what they have to go through, I get it. I'd probably hire them too, 1,000%.
Right, exactly. I mean,
that's money well spent in my book now.
from our culture where, like, you can literally write, "I quit" on a napkin and hand it to someone and say, "I'm done."
Not the same thing.
It's not
in Japan.
The same thing here.
It's like an inquisition.
Yep.
They demand lots of answers.
An apology.
And an apology
and
with
that.
Tears.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Zach said, I gave my little sister my login just so she would go through the process of canceling a weird streaming service I accidentally signed up for.
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes I don't want to go through all that. I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah.
Candace, I once dictated a breakup text to my roommate because I was too nervous I would accidentally end it with ha-ha or heart emoji. OMG.
We got another from Allison who said, I don't know if this counts as dirty work, but anytime my husband and I are at a store and he can't find what he's looking for because he refuses to ask someone because #dude, I find the first employee I see and very comfortably ask them where said item is. It's never been weird once, so I don't know why he just refuses to ask someone.
That's
so
hilarious.
So yeah, so he kind of hires you to do his dirty work.
Right. And just like, hey, because listen, I don't want to seem dumb, especially if it's like right there.
Right. I will say that I will ask almost right away because I hate just wandering around places.
You don't even try to find it by yourself?
I don't even try to find it by myself. And sometimes it's like, yeah, it's right there next to you. And I'm like, ow.
Oh, that's right.
All right.
I was going to find that.
Yeah.
let's see. Ashley says in middle school. And embarrassingly, again, in college, I had a friend ask a guy if he was into me while I pretended not to care.
That was how I asked my prom date out. I had someone else hand a note that said, hey, will you go to prom with Ben? But it was kind of
yes or no.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But it was kind of tongue in cheek. Like we were kind of joking about it.
Kind of cute.
A couple weeks before. Yeah, exactly.
Rob, I once had my mom call into my job when I was 23 to say I had the flu because I couldn't fake it convincingly.
Man, mom aiding and abetting right there.
Wow.
When did you have someone do your dirty work for you? Renee said, I had my new boyfriend. Yes, I know this sounds bad. Reply to my ex-boyfriend one night just to put an end to the you up text. He did.
My gosh.
We're still dating.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, that's kind of how you let the ex know, I've got a new boyfriend now.
Yeah.
You're going to need to stop.
Yeah, right.
Hannah, I ghosted my Bumble date via my cousin.
Oh.
After one very awkward brunch, I ghosted a guy by letting my cousin tell him I had moved to a different state.
Yeah, she's no longer in Kentucky.
That's like Chandler. I'm moving to Yemen.
I am moving to Yemen. And then finally, saving the best for last, Alyssa, when I broke up with my ex, I didn't want the drama.
Sure.
So I had my two best friends help me pack and move out while he was at work.
Wow.
I left a note on the counter and everything.
Well, okay, at least she left a note.
She did.
So that he didn't just come home with lots of questions when all of her stuff is gone.
Yikes. All right, so it sounds like you literally hired your friends to help you do the dirty work.
Absolutely.
That's
like,
funny.
Listen, we can get this done quicker if you help me out.
Right. All right, hey, good stories there. Thank you for that. What's your origin story? We don't want to know what your origin story is. We're going to make that up ourselves.
We just need to know your name and your age.
Yeah. So you can text it to us, 502-795-1997. We'll start with Maggie, who says, I'm 15, backstory please, waiting for it, Benny boy. Okay. Maggie, 15, running on three emotions, confidence, chaos, and whatever song is currently on repeat.
Yeah.
At 12 years old, Maggie had a dramatic friendship breakup that required screenshots, witnesses, and a hoodie worn for 5 consecutive school days.
Oh, wow.
14, she reinvented herself so hard, she even scares last year's Maggie. Now, at the ripe old age of 15, Maggie communicates exclusively in side eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Owns 47 lip glosses.
Of course.
But can only find one.
You can't have enough.
Treats every minor inconvenience like it deserves a documentary series. Her phone battery always at 12%. Opinions always at 100. And she's already tired of people, quote, not getting it.
Wow.
15-year-old Maggie growing up fast, rolling her eyes faster, and absolutely convinced everyone else is doing life wrong. Very good. Nice.
I feel like that has to be 100% accurate.
It is. All right. Let's do this.
Hey, guys. Tony the Welder here. Beautifully bold at 40 years old.
All right.
I love it.
What is Tony the Welder's origin story? Tony the Welder, held together by caffeine, sparks, and pure spite for weak metal.
What?
At 22, Tony the Welder learned three things very quickly. How to weld, how to swear creatively, and how to survive on gas station burritos.
Tasty.
At 31 years old, Tony the Welder, quote, fixed something once and has been the default repair guy for everyone he's ever met since.
I love it.
Now at bold and 40 years old, Tony the Welder owns gloves in every location except where he needs them, has a playlist that's 80% classic rock and 20% yelling, trusts his instincts more than any instruction manual, measures time in welds.
Yep.
Believes duct tape is a lifestyle.
It is.
And laughs in a way that scares small animals. Tony the Welder doesn't need directions because no guy does. He'll figure it out probably with sparks.
I love it. That has to be right. That has to be 100% correct, Tony, right?
I like that.
I have to think so.
All right, so we're basically creating your origin story on the spot. using just your name and your age. Here's another voice note.
My name is Sean, spelled the only correct way, and I am 31 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So what he's referring to is Sean, S-E-A-N,
right?
Not S-H-A-W-N.
Correct.
S-E-A-N is the Irish way of spelling it. The only correct way is what
AKA
he's saying.
The correct way.
Sure.
Okay, yes.
Sean. All right, let's get to his. Origin story for Sean, 31. Has the energy of a man who once said, watch this, and is still dealing with the consequences. Or, here, hold my beer. At 24, Sean tried to reinvent himself after a podcast episode and immediately bought a guitar he can't play.
Oh, yeah.
27 years old, our fearless Sean joined a gym. Told everyone it changed his life.
Sure.
And then disappeared for 3 weeks with no explanation.
Oh, no!
Now at 31, Sean owns one nice outfit reserved for, quote, important things.
Sure.
Has a notes app full of million-dollar ideas he wrote in the middle of the night. Treats every inconvenience as a personal challenge.
Yep.
He claims he's chill, but his search history says otherwise. That's our Sean, 31.
By the way, getting some feedback, Maggie, the 15-year-old. Okay, Jude, that's 92% correct.
Yes!
And Tony the Welder, incredibly accurate. Duct tape for life.
Listen. We don't know your backstory. No. We don't know your origin story. No. We're guessing.
Yep. Turns out very well. We're guessing very well.
Guessing. Oh, shoot. All right. Do we have time for one more?
Can you do Lisa, 52? What you got on this relic, she says.
She says relic?
Relic.
Okay. All right, let's roll with Lisa. Our fearless Lisa, relic 52, lived enough life to be both the warning and the example. At 26 years old, Lisa swore she'd, quote, never be like that, and immediately became exactly like that at 30. At 38, our fearless Lisa said she had a phase where she learned one impressive skill, mentioned it constantly, then abandoned it without closure.
That sounds right.
Now, 52 years young, Lisa owns a drawer full of chargers that belongs to no one.
Don't we all?
No known device.
Sure.
Starts every sentence with, I read somewhere. And has zero patience for nonsense, but infinite curiosity for drama that doesn't involve her directly.
That's so great.
Lisa says she's low maintenance, yet has very specific opinions about certain things like lighting and seating. Lisa, who's 52, claims she's calm on the outside, feral in the group chat, and absolutely not explaining herself.
That sounds 100% like our Lisa. Yes. Absolutely. Right. By the way, Alexa says, as Sean's girlfriend, I can tell you the beginning was way off, but the end was very accurate.
Do we want to do one more round of this coming up?
I think we have to.
All right, we'll do one more
100%.
Round.
100%. We've got so many waiting in the wings.
All right, we're just guessing your origin story here.
Yeah,
all right, just
we're going to have to get to J Mart next round.
All right, well, just give us your name and your age as we dive into the mystical world of our listeners, creating your origin story from scratch. All we're doing is finding out your name and how old you are, and we'll take it from here, all right?
Just rolling with it.
Yeah. So Amy is calling us. Hi there, yeah. Amy.
Hello.
Hi. Amy, you're 44, and what did you come to the realization?
I said I've been listening to you on the radio for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
You're an OG.
All right, Amy, don't tell us anything about you. Let us just go ahead and wing it, okay? Here's Amy, who's 44, origin story. Amy has lived long enough to know better and still does it anyway. At 27 years old, Amy said, this is my year. with her whole chest, and then immediately lost her phone, her keys, and her dignity in the same weekend.
That sounds right.
At 35, Amy tried a, quote, fresh start, which mostly meant rearranging furniture at midnight and texting people she should not have texted. Now at 44, Amy owns candles for emergencies.
Uh-huh.
Has a group chat she reads but never responds to.
Yes.
Treats every minor inconvenience like a personal test from the universe.
Correct.
Amy says she's low drama. But the stories start with, I wasn't even supposed to be there. Amy has strong opinions, selective memory, and a laugh that suggests she's survived at least three questionable decisions.
Yes!
Amy, who's a youthful 44, not chaotic, experienced.
Oh,
and the evidence is circumstantial, but overwhelming.
Oh.
There you go, Amy.
That sounds great. What a story.
I don't disagree with it.
All right. Hey, lady, thank you so much for hanging with us.
Yep.
All right.
Here's another 20
All right, there you are.
That's thanks, so great.
Amy, appreciate it.
Oh, I
right.
love it.
All right, we got to get to Jody, who texted in and said she's almost 13.
Oh, okay. Oh, we need to know. We need to go on this journey.
Let's go on this journey with our very, very well-weathered Jody.
Okay.
All right, Jody. 13. Already the main character, and everyone else just found out.
Absolutely.
At 10 years old, Jody decided she was, quote, over drama while actively creating it by accident. At 11, Jody mastered the art of saying absolutely nothing and somehow making it everyone's problem.
Absolutely.
Now, at almost 13 years old, Jody has two boys fighting over her in the most intense way possible.
Oh, wow.
Competitive backpack carrying, dramatic hallway glances, and one serious argument over who gets to sit closer to her at lunch.
That sounds 1,000% accurate.
She claims Jody doesn't even care, while absolutely caring just enough to let chaos bloom. Her phone buzzes constantly. Jody eye rolls are Olympic level, and Jody's confused as why everyone is being, quote, so weird lately.
Absolutely.
Jody, who's almost 13, just trying to live her life, drink her juice, and survive middle school. There you
drink
are.
Her juice.
There's Jody. There's Jody.
All right, oh, she does have two boys fighting over her.
Yes. Yes. We're creating your origin story from scratch. We don't know your backstory. We just want to know your name and your age. All right.
This is great. Oh, Jody. I hope you have a great day.
We got a text. Did you want to do J-Mart?
Is we got to do J-Mart. With a name like J-Mart, I can only imagine where he's been.
All right.
39 years old.
J-Mart, 39. Sounds like a nickname you earn, not choose. And the origin story of that nickname, classified.
Uh-huh.
At 21 years old, J-Mart disappeared for a year, came back with a different laugh and a rule about never trusting ATMs after midnight.
Wow!
At 28 years old, J-Mart swore off drama, immediately moved closer to it, and somehow became the guy everyone calls when things go sideways. Now, at 39 years young, J-Mart owns one chair that is his chair.
Yes.
Has a phone full of unsent text messages.
All right.
Treats silence like a warning sign. Says he's low key, but the stories always involve phrases like, long story short, bro. And don't ask. J-Mart knows a guy for everything and is not mysterious on purpose. Just happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's
that
good.
Sounds like our J-Mart.
Maybe we do what? One more?
Yes.
We'll do one more. Can we get to Elena, maybe?
Yeah, maybe Elena.
Elena.
Yep.
By the
33.
Way, yeah, I was going to say, thank you to everybody who's been texting in.
There's all so right. many of you. We could spend the rest of the show
doing
this. The
rest of the show doing this.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do Elena, 33. Just creating your origin story from scratch. Elena. Dear sweet Elena. Elena has lived several emotional lifetimes.
Emotional lifetimes.
And keeps all of them in her notes app.
Yes.
At 25, our dear sweet Elena announced that she was, quote, protecting her peace.
Yes.
While actively answering every message.
Oh.
At 29, she tried a wellness era that involved crystals.
Oh.
Green juices.
Okay.
And one absolutely forgettable haircut.
Okay.
Now at 33, Elena owns workout clothes she wears exclusively for errands. Has a sixth sense for drama that doesn't involve her, but should. And says, I'm not mad. In a tone that every guy understands. She believes in signs from the universe, ignores the obvious ones, and treats minor inconveniences like lessons. Elena, who's 33 and dear to us, is healed.
Oh, I like that.
Is growing.
Yes.
And is one group chat away from relapsing into chaos.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it, Elena. Stay away. I like that.
All right. All right. There you are.
Some feedback. Trina says J-Mart's been around even since before J-Mart.
All right.
I like that. Lisa, beyond the lighting and the seating, rather accurate.
Wow.
Keep your drama over there.
All right.
But not so far away that I can't watch.
All right. All right. Good. All right, we're just creating your drama. Just
oh, Bethany says, oh my God, I'm Lisa, but I'm 52-year-old Bethany.
Hey, if the shoe fits, right? If the shoe
That's
fits,
right.
Love it. Apparently, you're buttering your toast incorrectly.
I'm sorry, back the truck up. What?
How do you do it?
Well, you...
How do you do it?
Well, it depends. You're going to immediately throw shade when I tell you I spray the butter. Psst, psst. Our intern Vincent says, ooh.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was ready for you to say spray it on
Listen,
your toast.
I will stand like behind the convenience and the speed of the spray butter. It's just easier because if you get like, now I can do the classic, you shave it off the top of the tub with the knife and smooth it on there. Sure, if it's soft enough, then it's not going to put a hole in the toast. Or you could just go, and you're done.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
I honestly
live in my world for
sometimes
a second. I feel
when,
like you're gonna, I'm gonna win
no,
you over.
Sometimes when you say things, I just don't have a response.
Well, Vincent did. He said,
Anyways. there's this lady on TikTok who has another suggestion for convenience.
Okay,
and
what
it doesn't
better
involve,
than spray butter?
No, it does not involve spray butter.
Nothing's faster.
I've got one stick of butter for other things, and then I've got one stick of butter that I use for toast, and basically I just rub it on like this.
She has the stick of butter in her hand, peeled it like a banana, if you will.
So she's holding it with the wrap.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And she's spreading it like a deodorant stick.
Oh.
On the toast.
Instead of using a knife, feels easier. When the toast is warm, it just melts in. Does that offend people? What's her thoughts?
Yeah.
It does feel offensive. Here's why. Because there's going to be crumb shrapnel left on the butter stick. So if that is just a toast butter stick, maybe you can live like that.
Well, that's
but
what she says.
But if it's going to be multi-purpose butter, a.k.a. using the butter sticks for other things, I feel like there's going to be family members protesting.
Yeah. So she does say up front that she has two sticks of butter. She has
one for just toast.
Utility butter, and then she's got butter for just toast. Yes.
And you'll know the difference because of the crumbs.
Yeah. Someone,
on one stick.
Someone in the comments dives in and says, I don't know how to feel. It's practical, but the crumbs in the butter make me feel uneasy.
Yeah. No. Because then those just feel dirty. It feels like it dirties up the stick of butter for the next time.
But then what if someone hands you their butter to butter your toast too, and it's like that? And do you feel weird using someone else's?
Yes. Couldn't do it.
Crumb butter?
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Mm. Another comment, technically not illegal, but feels illegal.
Does feel illegal.
It's genius, and I hate it at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Another, not enough butter, no way near enough for me. It's going to be, got to be dripping off. I kind of agree with that comment.
Wow.
Kind of agree with that comment.
Again,
you got to have
at
least
spray as much as you want.
No, you can't.
Vincent's head is on the desk.
Yeah, I know.
He's hiding his face.
He's acting out everything we're feeling right now, and I understand this. Someone else comments, I think I'd feel funny about someone else's crumbs, but I don't know. It feels okay when it's just me. Okay.
So yeah, it's just for single people. You're living a single life. It's fine.
The knife on the plate looking up at you like, can you see me?
This is what I'm for. I'm literally called a butter knife.
Yeah. It's not roll-on deodorant.
Yeah, it's not.
I want to be angry, but I low-key think it's genius. Interesting.
Yeah, I can't.
I have tried to do that before. Like,
you have?
Yeah, because you kind of do that sometimes when you pull a fresh stick of butter out of the refrigerator
again,
to put on the counter.
You're talking to me like you assume I ever use sticks of butter. It's in a tub or I'm spraying it. That's where I live.
This is, again, one of those moments that I don't have anything actually to come back with you. Because I can hold your hand only so long, Kelly. And
we do have sticks of butter. It's mostly for when my husband cooks.
Yeah, of course.
That's not what I use, though.
Hey, is it the same with corn? Corn on the cob? No. I'm not asking you because you're going to say I spray the... Or do you eat corn on the cob?
Did last weekend.
Okay.
My husband actually did that. He got that out. He noticed. It's real easy.
Okay, for everyone else, Kelly, please stay out of this conversation right now.
Are you kicking me out of the conversation?
Yes. For everyone else. For everyone else, is this similar to corn on the cob butter where you need to have butter just for the corn on the cob because when you roll it on there, you're going to get this little corn on the cob strands on the butter. And so you can't go back the next day and go, oh, this is my butter for my toast because then you're going to get strands of corn on your toast.
So Rob is saying corn on the cob is better. But for toast, is the butter softened or straight out of the fridge? It's a valid question to ask.
Rob, we are not getting into that debate because I will die on the hill of...
Butter on the counter versus in the fridge 100%. Where it's supposed to live because it's got a container marked butter.
If it's salted butter, it lives on the counter. If it's unsalted butter, it's in the fridge. But who in their right mind would ever buy unsalted butter?
I mean, I think we have.
Okay. This conversation could be over. This conversation could be over.
Brian's on board with the stick butter on toast idea.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we buttered our corn on the cob for years.
Yeah. No. I
if
get
there's
that.
Any like shrapnel, so, gently shave it off at the end.
See, that's smart.
But then aren't you wasting
Brian's
butter,
using
though?
All his... Well, no, you shave it off onto your item. You're never wasting butter.
Oh, okay. You're definitely not wasting it when you're just spraying it.
Okay, we're done. Anyways, we're going to post that up. You can see her little video that's gotten a lot of attention.
Vincent's judging me big time.
Yeah, well, yes, and as he should.
He's like, you know what? I don't think I want to be an intern anymore.
He's like, I'm done.
Those people are crazy.
I'm done. From time to time, we see who has the best sugary cereal of all time, and we have a new crop. First of all, it's probably been a hot minute since I've had a sugary cereal.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I think probably... I'm more into the granola phase.
When I fight about this stuff, it's digging into my childhood. That's what I draw from, my experience from my childhood.
Yeah, the best sugary cereal. If you had to name one, what would it be?
Well, I mean, at the top of the list has always been like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right?
That's number one.
Uh-huh.
That's the number one. Cocoa Krispies, which... I was kind of a fan of, but I would always see it from afar. Maybe it was if I spent the night at a friend's house or something like that, it would be in their cupboard, never in mine.
Okay, well, it left really good chocolatey milk, but my problem with the Cocoa Krispies, the Fruity Pebbles, is they got soggy instantly. Like, you had to eat them really fast if you wanted some crispiness.
Yeah, I mean, Rice
to be a
Krispies.
Part of your cereal experience.
Yeah, because that Cocoa Krispies obviously from the Rice Krispie family.
Exactly.
And Rice Krispies, as you know, those would go soggy pretty quick.
Yes.
Yeah, those would go soggy
so,
pretty quick.
My standard, my go to, the top of my hill, Cookie Crisp, because it was like chocolate chip cookies dipped in milk.
You know,
and
that
that's an American classic.
Didn't make the top 10.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Who do I need to write a letter to?
So Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cocoa Krispies, Fruity Pebbles, which I never had. I never had a box of Fruity Pebbles once in my life.
I did.
Cinnamon Life made the top five, which Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say yes on that because underrated cereal right there.
Mm-mm.
And the Cinnamon Life, joyous.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Honeycomb landed in the top five for the best sugary cereals, which I'm like, again, that's a cereal that I never once had.
No. Nope.
Because again, my dad's dentist. And so growing up, never had sugary cereals. One of the first three ingredients on the box.
Not in the house.
Wasn't in the house.
Not in your mouth. Got it. Count Chocula. Count Chocula.
Nope, not in the top 10.
Because that had the marshmallows, right?
Wheaties made the list.
Come on!
Yep, Lucky Charms.
Come on!
Lucky Charms was one that I was a fan of that I didn't, get to enjoy until I got into college.
And then I would only pick out the marshmallows because the...
See, I wouldn't do that.
The other cereal was crap.
No, see, it was you had to have them together in order...
The marshmallows made it good.
The marshmallows, if you just ate the marshmallows in
1,000%,
milk?
They sell it like that now. Haven't you seen, like, they just sell the marshmallows now?
Anyways, you can get, because I don't do that.
Well, they know because I'm not insane. The best part. It's not insane. It's actually.
No, I'm saying I'm not insane just having a bowl full of milk marshmallows.
That's not insane.
It is insane.
It's not insane.
Anyways.
It's delicious. It's the only delicious part.
Sorry, we'll agree to disagree there.
Wow.
Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes round out the top 10. Best sugary cereals.
So, Raisin Bran, not in there at all, huh?
Yeah.
I enjoyed a good Raisin Bran.
I mean, I don't think of Raisin Bran as a sugary cereal, but I guess it is because the flakes
weren't covered with sugar. Maybe
the raisins were covered with sugar.
The raisins gave the sweetness.
One of the best cereals, if you want to pretend that you're being healthy, is the Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Yes, but Raisin Bran healthy. Made me forget. Yeah, I felt healthy with
Raisin
Bran.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Felt healthy, sounds healthy, right. Definitely not.
That was my healthy choice.
Yeah. Chocolate and breakfast doesn't go for me.
Like, really?
I can't do chocolate at breakfast.
What, you can't have like a chocolate donut?
No, I would prefer not.
That's dessert for breakfast. Chocolate chip pancakes?
Again.
It's one of the greatest inventions on planet Earth that I really was convinced my mom created for a very long time.
Again.
She's a genius.
A sweet treat, but I'm not gravitating towards the chocolate chip
pancake.
When
are you having a chocolate chip pancake then? Or is this like an afternoon snack for you? Are you an eat a donut in the afternoon kind of an animal?
I mean, I'll eat a donut whenever.
See, I don't. Donuts live in the morning for me.
Mm.
This is so
interesting. I mean, you and I are just different, I guess.
Allison says Captain Crunch. Yeah, Captain Crunch, the peanut buttery goodness.
Is that what it was? Peanut butter?
I did the berry crunch.
Yeah, Captain Crunch, I think that was a sometimes box of cereal for
the berry crunch
family.
For me was kind of like a peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. No. I get that. But yeah, top of the heap again, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. How did Captain Crunch with berries not make the list? That is insane. Correct.
No, it did. Actually, it did. I skipped over it.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it was six. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
All right.
No.
Okay, that's acceptable.
We got you.
Okay, but I'm still protesting no Count Chocula.
Of the chocolate cereals, though, Cocoa Crispy kind of rolls in there as the favorite, favorite.
Because again, hashtag soggy within about 15 seconds.
Listen, I'm trusting elves over a frickin' Dracula.
It's not Dracula, it's Count Chocula.
Again, trusting elves.
He's the Count of Chocolate.
The elves know how to make everything from bakery items to cereal.
Count Chocula, he specializes.
Yeah, only...
He specializes.
Again.
The elves spread themselves thin with all the other snacks they're making.
When have you ever trusted a vampire?
When it's made of chocolate.
There is no time in history when you could trust a vampire. Even in Twilight, Bella couldn't always trust Edward.
Well, she married him. Anyway, I'm saying...
Her own fault!
Count Chocula is a count of chocolate. He specializes, therefore I trust him. The elves are spread too thin. They are dipping their toes in too many different snack areas.
What do you mean they're spread too thin? Have you seen them? There are millions of them. They're little. They're tiny. They live in a tree.
This is the most ridiculous argument to have at this time in the morning. It's so aggressive.
Hey, welcome to the show, friends.
That's great.
It's Ben and Kelly.
We're very passionate about cereal we don't eat.
I would, though.
You should just rebel against your childhood and your dentist dad who wouldn't allow it. You should have all of it in your house now.
My daughter doesn't eat it.
Doesn't matter. You should.
She likes the granola.
She doesn't have the psychological damage. You should.
She does not.
You have the psychological damage.
Carry
go ahead,
the years of psychological
it by eating
damage.
All the bad stuff you weren't allowed to.
Maybe if you're hunting for a job, this might be a thing to consider. It's 99.7 DJX. There's a TikToker who has some advice, and it's been shared around TikTok quite a bit. Listen.
Not one word on my resume is true. And I'm killing these interviews because I'm just Johnny Ham checking my way through everything. I Googled a few terms and I'm just throwing them out there. I was like, yeah, I exceeded OTEs by 25%, retaining customer growth. I had one guy, I said I worked a sales development representative at Prime 7 Real Estate. And he took one look at my resume and he goes, Prime 7's a really good company. I made it up. It's not even real. That's how stupid these people are. And you go, oh, I don't get it. I have a good resume. I'm losing to people. You're losing to people like me. Who are making up.
Okay, so so let's translate. He's saying make stuff up to get the job.
Yeah, he's saying because okay. He is.
And it's working for him.
And you're competing against people like him who are embellishing so much on their resume.
And he's just banking on nobody's following up. No one's checking the references. Yeah. No one's doing any homework. They're just like taking whatever's on your resume, consuming it, saying that looks great.
That looks great.
Wow. Is that where we're at?
I don't know.
Is that where we're at? You just make whatever up and that's, you just go with that.
Well, if the hiring managers are so overwhelmed with their just day to day, hiring takes a long time.
It's kind of like its own job.
Yeah, it is a long process because you should. Due diligence, vet the employee, potential employee, vet the candidates, get back with the candidates, all that stuff.
I mean, people even like stalk social media of candidates.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And so
there's a lot of research and homework that goes into trying to figure out good people to hire.
You know, and sometimes people take the word of someone who knows this person over anything that they may write on their resume.
Sure.
Or they may just briefly skim their resume. It looks good. Let's bring them in for an interview without doing like...
Really checking up on anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if they interview well, great.
Yeah, then you're hired.
You're golden.
So
this is how this person has skated through.
I guess this is how this guy Noah
and tossing out this kind of advice, just lie.
He's saying lie he's saying lie on your resume because everyone is doing it, and if you don't, you're going to get beaten by someone who does.
And listen, don't just lie; do it really well.
What if you have a decent resume as it is? Like,
apparently, that's not good enough.
I guess that's not good enough.
Which is crazy because we're always like, honesty is the best policy.
Yeah, but I also think, okay.
Is this like a nice guys finish last kind of a mentality?
What would you even lie about on your resume?
Experience?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this guy, one of his examples was.
Honestly,
he made up a company in it completely. Like, this company didn't exist. He made it up and said he worked there. And the person interviewing was, oh, that's a good company.
No, I know of people who have not gotten jobs because they're too qualified.
Oh.
And it's like, this job is beneath your qualifications. And, you know.
Which means you're welcome. Like, I'm going to do that even more amazing job for you then.
And I think maybe the employer is thinking, okay, you're just using this as a
springboard
branch. Just a way to get from point A to point B.
Pay some bills until you find the thing that fits you best.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And we want someone who's a little less qualified who will stick around a little longer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Is that how we ended up?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, these two chuckleheads.
Nobody else is qualified. Like, so we'll go with these guys.
I guess this is what we'll do.
I mean, I literally haven't looked for a job.
You haven't had to need to.
No, I haven't needed to look for a job in 26 years.
Thankfully. My gosh, yeah.
So, which is a good thing because I think the one and only resume I ever had, I used like funky fonts and like
would
colors.
You still have to
and I had a graphic of a cassette tape. I put little pictures in the
that dates
margins.
A little bit
and, yeah I know
dates
and
a little
well my
bit.
Resume was on a cassette tape, which again dates it. And then I put in where my education is, I put edumacation.
Well, in some professions, apparently that works.
I think it played.
What I would love to hear Did you lie on a resume and nail a job?
Yeah, did you fudge anything on it?
Yeah, so what I would love to know is what the lie was, what job you were hired to do, and then whether you're still there. I mean, I think it'd be easier to admit if you had already left that job, honestly. But 502-795-1997, we'll take some of those stories on the way. Justin said, before LinkedIn and the internet, I always put my stepdad as my boss, who always gave me a great reference.
Get out!
Talked about how much they would miss me.
That's so great.
That's good.
That's good. That's so great. I mean, not great, because, again, it's lying. But
but he's a reference.
Right.
And well, what's he the called. Boss of? Maybe he's the boss of
being
the
awesome.
Grill. Yes. Yeah. He's the boss of the grill or being awesome, right? Oh, who's wow. to say? All right, 502-795-1997. Would love to hear some of those.
Let's share some lies.
Yeah, lies. Sharing lies on the Ben and Kelly Show. How bad you lying on your resume? And did you get in over your head because of a lie that you put on your resume that landed you an actual job?
This is literally shocking that this person goes on TikTok and just says, make stuff up on your resume. That's how you get ahead now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what everybody's doing. You should do it too. Be your own reference.
I got a text from a listener twice in my career. Two people that have worked with me have stolen my experience to apply for jobs. And it got back to me. One listing it on LinkedIn. And then one applied for a job where I currently work, claiming my experience. They did not get that role.
Oh, wow.
So I remember there was a radio station I worked at earlier in my career. And there was, you know, in our industry, they'll have those blind, like, jobs postings.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, we're looking for a witty morning show host
right.
in a mid to large city.
I applied to one of those too back in the day.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so then it's like, all right, you know, here we go. And this person applied to it and it was for their job.
What a stunning way to find out you're getting fired.
Yeah, what a way to, well, I mean, it came around after the fact because what once they had hired someone new, that this was the blind,
oh my
this was
gosh.
The blind job. And so I think this person knew that they were on their way out or whatever, and so was applying to things.
Oh
and so
my
applied
gosh.
To his own job.
Oh, wow.
Kim yeah, said,
I applied to one of those, and it was for, like, it was a job in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And I went as far as, like, they offered me the job. I got flown out there, did the interview and all the things.
Wined and dined.
They said, took me to the Mall of America.
We want you here.
And I said, sold. I want to go live in the Mall of America.
This was when our current company then, like, threatened
yes,
to sue you
exactly.
if you did. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I thought they were all going to be like, oh my gosh, we are so proud of you and glad to be a part of your success. And yep. a high five, that's like a huge leap in market size. And wow, you're going to be so successful. Because I was going to be working with, like, a legend in the industry, right? And then, yeah, they were like, well, we'll sue you if you go.
You're like, ow.
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 That kind of deflated me a little bit.
Kim said, I once got a job as a social media coordinator for a boutique clothing store. I said I had managed influencer campaigns for a vegan skincare line. The reality was I had actually just made memes for my dog's Instagram. No, I left after 4 months when they asked me to run TikTok ads and I panicked. That's
memes.
Funny.
From my dog's Instagram is practically the same thing.
It's practically the same thing. What lie did you do? Did you say the job that you were hired for and whether you're still working?
Alyssa, event planner assistant, wedding venue.
Mm-hmm.
The lie, I claimed that I coordinated 12 weddings.
Okay.
The reality, I just helped my cousin glue fake pearls on centerpieces once. You still there? Nope. After I scheduled the cake delivery after the reception, I quietly disappeared.
Wow.
Ow.
They scheduled the cake delivery for after the reception?
Oh!
Oh, that's rough. That's rough.
Oh, dang.
Brad said, I applied to be a dog walker on a pet app. I said I had dog CPR training. Got me the job. I watched a 5-minute YouTube video about it. And yes, I still am there. Dogs
oh, wow.
love me. No emergencies yet, thank goodness.
Oh, great. Well, you know, there's still time to actually learn
yeah,
the
skill. Yeah, you can still learn it after the fact,
yeah.
I guess.
And then the lie is not a lie anymore. Amanda says retail manager, shoe store.
Mm.
The lie, I said I oversaw inventory and staff scheduling. The reality is I folded shirts at Forever 21 and once got yelled at for hiding in a dressing room. Also not still there. Got promoted too fast, panicked, faked a family emergency and ghosted.
Oh, geez, Amanda.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Kayla says, I applied to be a freelance graphic designer by pretending to know how to use Adobe Illustrator. Oh, yeah, because especially for those type of jobs, ask, hey, specific programs are you adept in?
Yeah.
And Kayla says, I only knew how to crop photos in Canva.
she said she's not still there, but she did manage to design a passable logo, and they still use it.
All right, so that's good.
Success.
There you go.
Renee was applying to be a bartender, said I could make over 100 cocktails from memory.
That's pretty cool.
The reality is she knew how to pour a rum and Coke in fake confidence.
There you go.
Still there. Turns out 90% of people just want a beer and someone to nod at their stories.
That's funny. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to the hiring manager over at Goodwood. Yeah, you know, Goodwood Whiskey Row. Yeah. We were doing that. And she was like, because I was talking about my daughters and how they're baristas and things like that. And she's like, you know what? Honestly, I will hire someone who has zero experience as a bartender who was a barista.
Because they have to know so much.
Because they have to know so much and they can work in those pressure-packed environments and things like that.
Yeah. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of the same thing.
Just different ingredients.
Those are funny.
Yeah, that's Heather good. Says I got a job as a babysitter for a wealthy family from next door.
Oh, okay.
I said I had a child psychology background.
Oh.
When in reality, I took one intro psych class and read Goodnight Moon once.
Heather, that sounds like I took a half a semester of pre-med.
Yes, so I'm practically a doctor.
Exactly. She literally used the bit I've been talking about for years. Is she still working for
us? No, she said nope. Oh. Their kid asked me what a Roth IRA was, and I just bowed out.
I was like, you know what? That's over my head. I got to go. All right. Those are funny. Thank you for the stories there.
Oh, gosh. Wait. One more, Claire. I got a job as an office admin at a chiropractor's office. Uh-huh. I said I was certified in medical billing.
Sure.
The reality was I once Googled what a copay was. I'm still there.
Come on.
I got the hang of it.
Plus, okay.
I get free back cracks.
See, you know what?
Win-win.
I honestly believe sometimes if you can get in there, you're like, you know what? I'll figure it out once I get in there.
Well, honestly, my first job out of college, like I was hired originally just to be like a midday, you know, air personality. And then they called back like the day before I was moving here and they said, do you want to be promotions director too? Right. And I'm like, okay.
You're like, all right.
No idea how to do that job, but I got the name and the number of the person I was replacing.
Yeah.
And I called her incessantly and learned on the job.
Well, I similar to you, I got a job and about a month in, they were like, hey, we want you to be production director too, which is the person that handles like producing all the commercials and things that you hear. And they're like, what experience do you have? I was like, they're like, great. Here's $500 extra a year.
Wow.
I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Count me in.
Sign me up.
Count me in.
That's amazing.
$500 extra a year.
What does that? Did you ever do the math to break that down?
No, of course not. I would have been too depressed.
Oh, wow.
All right. Anyways, good stories there. Thank you for that.